Good to have all you Marines and ex-Marines and civilians. And civilians with us here today. In 1952, while in the Marine Corps in Seattle, Washington, I had the privilege of attending a three-day seminar on evangelism taught by Cornelius Vanderbregen, an ex-Marine. And he spent the first 2 days of this three-day seminar telling us about how to have a right relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the last day, he talked about some practical little tips on how to get the message out. And some of you have just come into the conference, and today as we talk about some practical tips and a few things on getting the message out, I think we need to mention that we've spent several days here about how to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so all that I would say about this morning has been preceded by this right relationship with Christ. And anything that I say won't really mean anything unless our hearts are filled with the Savior. Bob Lewis shared a verse a little while ago in Isaiah 50, verse 4. And he said the first part of that verse says this: "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." But the last part of that verse says this: "He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." And the key to having a tongue to speak as the learned is having an ear that wakes morning by morning to hear from Jesus Christ. So I just say that as we get started, so we can remember that witnessing is simply telling others what we've seen and heard about our wonderful Savior. I'd like to tell you this morning how to get to Chicago. I don't say, well, this guy's out of his head. In 1946, my parents took me to Chicago. And we left from 608 North Hill Street, Kellogg, Idaho, little mining town up in the hills. You go 6 blocks south, turn to your left, and head east on Highway 10. When you get to Billings, Montana, you pick up Highway 87. From 87, you cruise on into Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And there you catch a fork in the road and go on 29 to Rockford, Illinois. Out of Rockford, you can get Interstate 90 and go right on into Chicago. Now, I've just done 7 things wrong in witnessing to you and telling you how to get to Chicago. And we're going to back up and go over this and find out some positive things on how to witness for men to men concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was wrong with that witness? First of all, I'm not even sure you want to go to Chicago. So our first point is that we need to create a need, or God needs to create a need. There needs to be a need, a longing to hear about Chicago, a longing to hear about Jesus Christ. People don't listen unless they're interested. And I know that you've tried to witness to people. I certainly have. And you could see their eyes kind of going here and there and, looking at their watch and, you kind of think, well, I might as well quit. And you might as well quit if you're not creating a need. Well, how do we do this in sharing Christ with people? An interesting study, and if you have just an hour and you want to take a little project someday, go through the Gospels and go through the book of Acts, and every time that Jesus Christ dealt with a man, or every time that Paul or Peter dealt with someone and brought them to themselves to Christ, they came to Jesus, see how the need was created. It's never just the same. We've been studying in the book of Acts down in Norfolk, and over in the third chapter, let me just give you a few instances of the need, how it was created. Acts, the third chapter, verse 2. Peter and John came to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a certain man was there, lame from his mother's womb, and he was there daily at the gate of the temple, crying out for alms. When he saw Peter and John, he thought, boy, here are a couple of fellows that look sort of good, easy touch. So he asked them for an alms, a gift. In verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, it doesn't say that he preached the gospel to him. As a matter of fact, this fellow had his ankle bones healed. His need at that time was to walk. And Peter and John looked down into his heart and into that need. They saw there wasn't silver and gold. They could give him a little buck here or there. But his need was to have his ankle bones healed. And they did this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And of course, we know that God had given them the power to do that and had exhorted them to go forth and to heal people in Jesus' name. This was the part of the ministry of the apostles, showing forth the power of Jesus Christ in that day, in that way. But then, the next verse, verse 8, after he stood up, he said, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So he didn't just get his ankle bones healed and then shove off. No, sir. He attributed that to Jesus Christ and went with them into the temple praising God. Now, it doesn't go into all the facts, but I certainly believe that this man, whatever he'd heard about the Lord, that he came on, and I believe we'll see him in heaven, that they had an opportunity through meeting one need to meet the real need of his heart, for him to praise God and follow the Lord. So the principle here is that by meeting one need in the life of an individual, we can often create a need, the real need, for coming to Christ. Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith, but unto all men. And how many times there are people that we're witnessing to, and boy, we don't think anything about the need that's on their heart. We just want to get the gospel to them and bring them to Jesus Christ. And that's right, and that's good. But sometime, maybe we should just put that aside for a little while and get in there and help them in the need that is right there before them. And you know people like this, and I know people like this. Someone in your dormitory that you can help with a real need. Maybe they have some need of money. And by giving them $5 or doing something for them, their heart's open to you, and you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you get an opportunity to go on and share the gospel with them. That's one time. Over in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, where Paul was on the road to Damascus, remember Jesus said to him, verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Old Paul had been out here persecuting the Christians. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, the Lord really got through to him. Now, he dealt with Paul differently. He created a need by pointing out to him that he was persecuting Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Do you realize that the thing that you're doing is contrary to the Son of God? You're persecuting Jesus Christ. Now, that's a pretty direct approach. And that may be exactly what we need to do, to create a need. It created a need in Paul's heart. And he, trembling and incidentally astonished. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize I'd been doing this. And he came to Christ. Let's skip back to the cross and look in Luke 23. We'll come back to Acts in a minute. Here was this young Marine lieutenant. Called him a centurion. Luke 23:47. Charge of 100 men or so. Tough, rugged Roman soldier. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this man, this was a righteous man. When he saw what had happened in the life of Jesus Christ, it created a need in his heart. A rugged, rough soldier. Matthew 5:16 was quoted this morning. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Maybe this is what we need to do to create the need. To live the kind of a life before men and women that will cause them to see that this is a righteous man. I'm not like that. This is what I need. So it could be a life that you live. It could be a direct approach. You're persecuting Jesus Christ. It could be meeting another need so that we can get to the real need. In Acts the 10th chapter, we find that Cornelius was also one of those Marine lieutenants. Verse 1. A centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He was on duty over there in Italy. Must have been part of the med crews. But he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now he saw a vision. And in that vision, God said to him, even though you're devout, you're really a dirty sinner down in your heart. You need to get squared away. All that righteousness is as filthy rags. And you better come to Christ, really. That's not what God said to him. In fact, he commended him. And here's what he said. Thy prayers, verse 4, and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And then he told him what to do. He took him a step further. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He commended the man. He was honest in his heart. He was seeking God in the light that he had. And he took him on a step further and he brought him to Peter. And Peter opened the word to him and he led him to Jesus Christ. Honest commendation created a need to go on a little further. Maybe you know of a person that does go to church and you think, well, they've just got religion. And we kind of look down on them. We think, I wish they'd really come to Christ. Maybe a little love there. You know, it's really commendable that you've been faithful in Sunday school and you do have all those pins. You know, I've heard, you know, the messages have got pins up and down here. Well, maybe there's an honest heart there. That's commendable. The fact that you've tried to live for the Lord. Praise God. You know, I did some of this too. And then I met Jesus. And take them a step further. And when we get over here into the last part of the chapter, we don't find Peter jumping on the back of this centurion. No, he just goes on and explains about the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, God is not a respecter of persons. And the first Gentile came to the Lord. Well, Agrippa, in Acts 26, had a little different approach. King Agrippa. Paul stood before him and he gave his 3-minute testimony. And at the end of his testimony, he said to Agrippa, "Don't you believe this? Surely you must believe." And Agrippa looked at him and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me." Almost persuaded. Personal testimony can create a real need. And you've had some time here, I trust, to talk over a personal testimony. If you didn't get in on the elective, on how to develop a personal testimony, get with someone today and talk it over. This is one of the most tremendous weapons that we have. What did God do in your life? How did Christ change your life? Look, I don't know you, and I may never see you again. But could I just take a couple of minutes and share with you how the Lord Jesus changed my life and gave me peace? And then go right on into it. And while you're talking to that person and telling them how you were before you came to Christ, the Spirit of God is talking to that person and telling them how they are right now without Christ. And when you tell that person how you actually met the Savior, God is telling that person how they can meet the Savior. And when you tell that person what a wonderful life it's been since Christ changed your life, God is saying to that person what a wonderful life you'll have when you come to Christ. So the Spirit of God working through this little old testimony that Paul shared there to King Agrippa. In Acts 28, Paul, verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. He rented his house. He didn't buy it. He just rented his house. I won't talk about that. I feel a sermon coming on. And received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I believe that God used Paul's house, his hired house, to create a need in the hearts of many people. Are you using your home to create a need? To invite people over? Come on over for some dinner. And to sit down together and talk. And during the course of the evening, as their hearts kind of open in the home and so on, he preached the kingdom of God, taught those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. But the home was used. Wonderful way. Well, we could talk about many, many people and how the Lord used different things to create a need. It's an interesting study. Number one, we need to make sure we have the ear of the person before we go on and talk about Chicago, about Jesus Christ. Notice that in my witness, as I was telling you to zoom down Highway 29 and catch 90 here or wherever it was, I didn't tell you one thing about Chicago. That's the second point. We need to share Jesus Christ in our witness. Now, I don't know a lot about the Windy City. But in 1946, when my parents took me there, 14 years old, I had some impressions. I've only been in the airport since then. Never really been in the city. I remember going up into the Board of Trade building and going up the elevator and looking out over the city and then into the Wrigley Tower, I believe it was, Wrigley Building. I remember going to the Museum of Science and Industry and out to the Brookfield Zoo, down to Maxwell Street, and over to the Soldiers Field and see some of these big league teams play. I never could figure out whether it was the Cubs that played the Giants or the White Sox that played the Yankees. I mean, I don't know what league is which there. Some of you guys will have to straighten me out. But I saw all four of those people play each other. I remember that. I remember the aquarium, and I remember riding on the Aurora Elgin, the old train that isn't anymore, the electric train there, and all these things impressed my heart. And so when I talked to somebody about Chicago, though I was only there one time 20 years ago, I have some things to share, some impressions. And as this gentleman stood and related how George Bernard Shaw had been with him, and how he had was the author and had written this song, The Old Rugged Cross. It impressed his heart. And thank God for the old rugged cross. And how we need to share the things of Jesus Christ with people. And it's so easy, isn't it, to be witnessing to someone, trying to get on the track. Well, now, you know about Christmas and Easter, don't you? The facts? I mean, every American knows that Christ died and rose from the... I mean, we have all these things. So we don't have to dwell too much about that. Listen, many people know some facts about Chicago, but they've never been there. They really don't know what it's like. And don't take this as a guarantee that a person knows anything about Jesus Christ because they've celebrated Christmas and Easter. Oh, how we need to tell what the Lord Jesus means to us. Tim quoted the verse from Acts 4:20. We cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. That which we have seen and heard. Somebody quoted from 1 John 3. It's in 1 John 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. I did a study not too long ago on John the Baptist. And as I studied his life, I could find only one thing that was rather negative. Only one thing, sort of a bad point. In Matthew 11, verse 2, it says, Now when John had heard in the prison, he was in prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And I thought, wait a minute, here's John the Baptist, who back there in John's gospel, he said, Thou art the Son of God. And how God had shown him that this was the Messiah. And here he is in prison. Are you really Jesus Christ, or do we look for someone else? Incidentally, the weakest point of his life was his strongest point. Because he didn't go to some theologian and say, Hey, look, would you go get you two disciples? How about going over in here and getting Rabbi so-and-so in Temple 49 and bringing him over here and explaining to me from the law whether or not this man is really Jesus Christ? He went directly to the Savior with his problem. And if you've got a problem, don't come to me with it until you've spent some time with the Savior on it. Oh, how we need to take our problems and our burdens to Jesus. He went to Jesus with his problem. And Jesus Christ answered his question, and he didn't have to go to Rabbi so-and-so. And I'm not saying it's wrong to get counsel, but let's make sure that we've taken our problem, first of all, to the Lord Jesus. And many times we'll never have to go any further than that. And so they came to Jesus, the disciples, Verse 3, and said unto him, John's disciples, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Good question. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Stick around for a little while, fellas, and just observe. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say, and he went on. He just related some things. They just saw some things, and they carried this back to John. John, we saw the blind receive their sight. We saw the deaf receive their hearing. We saw the gospel preached to the poor. Men's lives changed. I'm sure that's all John needed, just that little assurance. What have you shared with Jesus about Jesus to the lost man? How important it is. My time is going by so quickly. I just jotted down a few things that, what have I seen about Jesus? What do I share with a fellow about the Lord Jesus? Answers to prayer? The unconverted man doesn't know anything about prayer. He doesn't know anything about grace and peace. God meeting needs, he has to slug it out on his own. If Christ is in your heart, Jesus Christ has done some things for you, and you've got something to share. He didn't share a verse of Scripture with the disciples of John and say, now you go back and straighten him out from the Word. There were some experiences that they saw. Now, it's one thing to take a person to the Word, and we're going to talk about that. But it's another thing to say, look, this is what Jesus Christ has been doing in my life. In Korea, Betty came down with cancer, had a serious operation, 8 hours on the operating table, and we didn't know what would happen. But we experienced peace and grace from God. And I remember when we came back to the States and we figured that things were all right. And then when we went to the doctor in Jacksonville, Tim was with me. And then the doctor took me in privately a little later and he said the cancer has spread on down into her back. And I remember how I fought tears. And then I went out and I shared this with Tim. And then we prayed, and I prayed Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I can remember God like a bicycle pump. You know how you pump up a tire? I could just feel my old heart being pumped up. God just pumping grace into my heart. It was wonderful. And then as God led step by step and led us to passages of Scripture to claim for dear Betty and so on, the victory that all this has been, that's just one little illustration. I can tell you about the times that we ran out of food and prayed, God, we're out of food. And we've got some fellows coming here to dinner over the weekend. And at 10 o'clock at night to go out and find on the front porch two great big boxes of groceries. And the times that we prayed, Lord, we need two more beds in our house. And the fellow came and knocked at the door and said, could you use two beds? But I can tell you about Hebrews 2:9 that I saw this morning as I read in my reading program. I wondered what kind of a response I would have. I think it was yesterday's reading program I was catching up on today. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And as I went over that and over that, it just struck my heart that he has tasted death. He's tasted death for every man. We had some prayer. We talked about that one. Boy, that was good. What have you seen and what are you sharing in your witness about the Son of God? About the wonderful home life that He's given you, a Christian wife, and the privilege of sharing the Lord with your children. And so you talk with an alcoholic and you can tell about this fellow who is an alcoholic, or you can tell about the dope addict, or you can tell about the serviceman that you know that came to Christ, or the college student that had his life changed. Fit yourself into the situation and bring another one in that you know has had his life changed right along that line. Another thing that I did wrong, I assumed that we were all starting from Kellogg, Idaho on our little trip to Chicago. That's wrong. I mean, we're in Massanutta Springs. And it won't work. And my directions to go out of 608 North Hill Street and down to Highway 10 and across to Billings and so on, it won't work. Now, the gospel is the same. It never changes. But we're talking about the bait in getting a man to the gospel. That's a little different. I don't go out here with a bass plug and cast for trout with a fly rod. It won't work. You don't go into a doctor's office and sit down with old Doc Jekyll or whatever his name is here and say, "Doctor, I have a pain in my side." And he says, "Take a bottle of APCs." Another fellow comes in with something else. "Take a bottle of APCs." It won't work that way. Now, he knows the need is for you to be healed and go out of there well. But he has a little different place that he has to start from. The bait isn't always the same. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, has a lot to say about this one. Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To college students, I became as a college student that I might gain the college students. To swabbies, I became as a swabbie that I might gain the swabbies. It's hard. But He gives grace. Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Verse 23, I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Forget your little old rut over here and get in there and get with that person in his need. Get where he is, where she is, and proceed from there to Jesus Christ. Number 4, I didn't even show you a map. I just kind of rattle off the direction. Well, now if I pull out my good SO map here and open it up before you and say, now look, let's see, where do you live? And we kind of sit down together and we talk it over. Well, let's see, what would be the best way now to get to Chicago? And we consider it together and we proceed on along the line here of the map. It gives confidence. You look on that map, there's confidence in how important it is to flip out the old dagger and point a person to the Word of God. This is what Jesus Christ says in the Bible. Do you have a Bible, a little old New Testament that you carry with you at all times? I trust you do. Every one of us, they all hold swords, being expert in war. A little Bible in your pocket or in your purse. Never be caught without it. It's great to have the Word hid down in our heart. But let's not just... I was witnessing to a man on a bus one night, and I rattled off a bunch of verses, and he turned to me and he says, "You know the thing that I appreciate what you had to say, but you know, you lost me." I lost you. I thought you were already lost. You lost me because you just kind of intellectually quoted a bunch of passages of Scripture, and I thank God for that lesson I learned. How much better it would have been, instead of quoting that passage of Scripture, just to take it out, turn him to it, and say, "Well, look, there's a verse over here in 1 John 5:11-12 that says this," and hand it to him and let him read it. Here's what the map says. Acts 8:35, when Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch, he says he began at the same scripture. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Took him to the Word. Fortunately, the Ethiopian eunuch had the scriptures with him. And sometimes this is true. Somebody we're dealing with, we go into their house and they have a Bible over there on the table. And we say, look, could we open your Bible and talk? And we go from there. Number five, it was too complicated. I shared too many things about getting to Chicago. I had five or six different little deals there, roads. There's a much simpler way. You can travel on Highway 10 from Kellogg High, Idaho. That's where I used to live, Kellogg High School. You can travel on Highway 10 to Chicago all the way to St. Paul, Minnesota, which is considerably further than just dropping off in Billings. Oh, let's forget that. Let's keep it simple, though. Keep it simple. Let's not confuse the issue on how to come to Christ when there's a need there by a lot of different confused facts. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Boy, don't get off on the tangents. What about baptism? Well, let's get to Christ first. Not with wisdom of words and, oh, how flower we can become, you know. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 1:17. And I don't know if you use John 3:16 or not, but I do. And just quickly, here are seven little questions you can ask a person from John 3:16. Some of you have heard us present this before in NAV conferences, and so you can just kind of check and make sure you've been using this during the past year. And incidentally, in a survey that Billy Graham had taken, they found out that it took 40 Christians to bring one person to Christ in a year's time. And so when we say, oh, how awful, that's terrible. Who's the person that you've brought to Jesus this year? And how are they doing today? Fruit that would remain. Number one, and I start out and I say, well, look, have you ever heard of John 3:16? That's kind of the golden text of the New Testament. John 3:16. No, I don't think I have. Well, let's see. I'll start you on it, and you see if you can figure it out. For God's... Oh, yeah, and just many people can pick it right up from there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Good! Let's take a look at the Bible here. Now, I put the dagger in his hand, and we turn to it, and I have him read it again, and I ask him these seven questions. Number one, who is the giver? Who is the giver? God. God so loved the world that He gave. All right. Number two, what did God give? He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. All right. To whom did He give His Son? God gave His Son to the world. What was His motive in giving His Son? They might say, well, that He might believe. That's true. But let's back up. God so loved the world that He gave. It was because of His love. He loved you. He loves me. He tasted death for every man because of His love. Number five, what two things are contained in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's one. But have everlasting life. That's two. It's the positive and the negative. The negative should not perish. The positive, have everlasting life. Anyone who receives the gift will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. And about that time, I pat him on the back, and boy, you're doing great. That's good. Now, who are those that have received the gift? Sixth question. Whosoever believeth in Him. It's number seven, and this is the sledgehammer. Does that include you? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Good. Where would you go if you died tonight? Well, I don't know about that. And it's amazing how many answers are just exactly like that. And then we turn to John 1:12, and we talk about the gift, and on over to Romans 10, 13. And we've got three little verses, and we might use another one here or there, but many times I've seen men with those three verses, the Spirit of God. Now this is after the need is created, after we've talked about Christ some, and we get into the gospel message. If you want to talk more about this later, maybe some of you can, with someone here. Many of the fellows are using this. Number six, I didn't even offer to take you to Chicago. I just sort of said, well, this is the way you go to Chicago. I wouldn't have gone to Chicago alone when I was 14 years old. I probably wouldn't go to Chicago alone today. I want to take somebody with me. And when we talk to a person about Jesus Christ, we say, well, you know, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. And that's true. But many of us never even lead the horse to the water. We just say, well, look, there's the water way, way over there. Go to it. In the first chapter of John, old Andrew, when he came to Jesus, verse 41, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, look, we've found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, 45. Said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, go and see. He didn't say that. He said, come and see. Let's go, boy. Let's go see. And Nathanael came to Jesus. So take some time to bring a person to Christ. Let's spend time with them. Let's take them down to Billings, Montana, and show them where the next turnoff is. And let's go down to Rockford, Illinois, and so on. Let's go with them. And there's a cost. There's a price involved. You'll have to pay the price of going with that person. It isn't some little two-minute presentation. Occasionally God leads us to do that on a bus or on a street corner or something. But most of the time, if we would allow the Spirit of God, He'd let us talk to that fellow again and again and again and again until they finally get to Jesus Christ. Number seven, I didn't let you ask any questions. I just kind of flipped it all out. This is the way you get to Chicago. I didn't know whether you even have a car or not. Maybe you'd be flying in an airplane. Not one question. John, the fourth chapter, when Jesus was dealing with the woman at the well, notice the time of questioning that there was. John 4, verse 7. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, verse 7. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him. Verse 12, Jesus answered and said unto her. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her. Verse 17, the woman answered. Verse 19, the woman. Verse 21, Jesus said unto her. Verse 25, the woman said unto him. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her. And there was a conversation going back and forth. And don't get this person in the corner and say, look now, boy, this is the way we do it. This is the way you go. And, you know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you understand? Good night. Yeah, I do. I'll do anything. Boy, we take our belts out and we mark another mark on them. Boy, we go. Bloody sword. And you ask a few questions and you find out that that person has got some problems in there. And we sort of have to discover this and find out where they are and talk with them. Look, do you understand that verse? No. Let's see. Second set. Fact of sin. So let's get him in a conversation. Oh, okay, what are we talking about? We're way over here. Number one, create a need. And it doesn't mean you do it all in this order. It doesn't mean this is the end of the story. Someone else could come up here and talk about evangelism and present a whole new deal, and still it'd be loaded. But here are just some thoughts that I trust will help each of us. Create a need. Number two, share that which you have seen and heard about Jesus Christ. Number three, find out where they are. Number four, show them from the map, the Word of God. Five, keep it simple. Six, be willing to take them all the way. Seven, get them involved in the conversation. And just so we can have an expository message here, you know, good preaching, you got to have an expository message. I'm not sure what that means, but turn to Acts 8. And read the story of how Philip brought the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus Christ, and all of these points are right there. Not in this order, just very quickly. You remember the story how the Spirit told Philip to go down into the desert, and he ran. He didn't waste any time. Verse 30. Well, in 29, he was willing to go. The Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. He ran. He was willing to go. Didn't matter how far. Boy, if God's leading in this thing, I'm willing to give myself to it, he said. He started where he was, where the Ethiopian was. Understandest thou what thou readest? He was reading in Isaiah 53, down in verse 32. It tells about that. He started right where he was. And then he let him ask some questions. How can I, except some man should guide me? A little later on, he asked him another question. He used the map. He used the Bible. He created a need. Understand? And how many people have you seen reading the Bible? Do you really understand what you're reading there? Come to think of it, I don't. He created a need, and it pricked his heart. How can I? And he led him on. He kept it simple. He opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. We talk to people about preach the word. There it is. Acts 8:35. The mouth, the word of mouth. The scriptures, the word of God. Jesus, the living word. He opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. And he shared Christ with him. He preached unto him Jesus. There's the, you know, so you can put this in one spot in the Bible. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing what you've done in our lives. And we thank you that you've changed us, Father. We pray that you'll work through our midst this year, these coming days, to bring men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to go back. Give us boldness. We pray that many will turn to the Savior and follow after him. Father, if there are those in our midst that have never yet met you, we pray that you'll prick their hearts during these days, create a need. We pray that they'll see how great thou art and come to you. Now we thank you for this time together. Trust that you'll use these things in each of our lives to bring great glory and honor to your name. Use them to the salvation of souls. For Jesus' sake, amen.